The True Vine Charismatic Church International presents our weekly audio podcast with Reverend Tete Janma. Let this message fill you with the Word of God. Stay blessed.
Honoring fathers, you know that a car is made to be driven. So when you have a car, the most appropriate way to use it is to drive it. When you have a meal of chicken and salad, the most appropriate way is to eat it. When you have a father, my Bible tells me that you honor him. Turn with me to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we read verses 1 and 2. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. This know also, that in the last days perilous or dangerous times shall come. Verse 2. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemous, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. I added verse 4. Now, one part that strikes me has to do with the fact that in the last days, some will be unthankful, and some will also be disobedient to parents. Why that, I don't know, but it may be the devil's attack on humanity, so that instead of doing the right thing, the enemy will compel men and women, for that matter, to do the wrong things. It is very easy to dishonor a father, very, very easy. To dishonor means to treat with disdain, treat with disrespect, to look down upon, to be spiteful, to fail to recognize the person, and to refuse to grant that which is due to the person. And I say it again, it's so easy, just as it is to despise a small beginning, it is also so, so easy to despise a father without even realizing it. There are various reasons which make a person fail to honor their parents or their father in this particular case. And some of the reasons are as follows. Lack of respect. Just that you don't respect people. Deuteronomy 27:10. The second one is despising, looking down upon a parent. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 20. And then some engage in cursing their parents. They said that my father will struggle. My mother will not have it easy because she abandoned me. The Bible says you must not curse your parent. The moment you do that, it comes directly as a curse upon your life. Number four is the text we have looked at, disobedience. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2. People will just be disobedient. They won't comply with what their parents say. They will do the very opposite of which the Word of God requires them to do in honor of their parents. Number five, failing to provide for parents. That is Mark chapter 7, verse 11. They fail to provide for parents. There is a time that your parent is strong, But there's another time that because of old age, weakness sets in, and sometimes elderly people carry a frail body and they need support if they have to live for the next 20 years. Some people around them must support them. And then number six is strife in the household. Some people dishonor their fathers by engaging in strife in the household. Micah chapter 7, verse 6. So I've cited the scriptures for your personal references so that you may find time to look at them. But my desire today is to pick some examples from scripture about how some people treated their fathers lightly. One of them can be found in Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15, the story about the prodigal son. Normally, a person is entitled to an inheritance after the death of a father. But this particular son was so disrespectful that he wouldn't even have the patience to wait for the father to pass away. He started demanding and requesting for what was very unethical. In other words, he was simply saying, "Daddy, I wish you were dead. You have stayed too long. That's why my prosperity has delayed." He was also saying, "Daddy, I don't really love you. I love your property more. I love your money more." He was also saying, "Daddy, I don't really care about your feelings. I just want it my own way. I don't mind what people say. I just want it my own way." The Bible says the father obliged and gave him the things that he requested for. And then he went into a faraway country and wasted it in riotous living with prostitutes until the money was dissipated. Didn't invest anything. And the Bible says there was famine in that land. And the famine hit everybody, including him. Couldn't find a job and had to find a piggery to work in. Somehow, he didn't have food to eat, so had to compete with the pigs for their feed. Eventually, he decides that he will come back home. And the Bible says when the father saw him afar off, "Oh, this father is a real father, and we must clap for him." I'm saying, oh, come on, put it on. The man is a real father. When he saw his son coming, I'm sure the son was not properly dressed, and having worked in a piggery, he might be smelling of pigs, swine smell. I'm sure he had lost weight and was a pale shadow of himself. But the Bible says this man hurried towards him. He embraced him, gave him a kiss, put a ring on his finger, and organized a big party for him. There is a certain heart which is called the heart of a father. A person is a father by reason of that heart that makes him relate to other persons. There's a certain heart. That heart seeks the well-being and the welfare of the other party. So that no matter how much that person is offended, like David, offended by his own son, he would say, "Is the young lad Absalom okay?" He doesn't want to hear the other news. He won't be pleased. He won't rejoice about that. There is a certain heart that makes the heart of a father. And this man, who had a difficult son, exemplified that heart that God has shown toward humanity all these years. So that's the first example of somebody who easily dishonored the father. The second example is seen in 1 Samuel chapter 10, verses 26 and 27. This group of persons are referred to as the sons of Belial. The word Belial is another famous educated, whether he was a graduate or not a graduate, whether he had experience in leadership, whether his CV was long or tall or short. The people said God had chosen him, and therefore we were going to identify with him, and he will be our king. Why? Because God has simply chosen him. But there was a second category of people who said, ah, look at him. This man, he cannot save us. You see, whenever God is lifting you and I'm speaking to you, there'll be a category of persons who will not recognize whom you are. They will not accept what God is doing in your life. Either they will fight it or they will sit somewhere else and mock at you. Have you forgotten about Sambalat and Tobiah? When God was using Nehemiah to rebuild, reconstruct the broken walls of Jerusalem, instead of Tobiah and Sambalat offering a hand of support or words of encouragement, they sat in the distance and they would not work. They sat on the fence and they would be laughing and say, oh, look at the wall that is being built. Oh, this pastor, only children are fellowshipping with him. I mean, people can be mean. People can say things. People can be cruel. You and I have heard during political campaigns the way that potential leaders are insulted. Oh, those who are called to be presidents, their grace is different. Because it's insults at national level. You have presented yourself. We didn't present you as a candidate. You said you wanted to be president. People can say things. If you have to respond to everything, you will not campaign. That's why you heard some former presidents say that it came to a time that they felt so offended they wanted to leave, and their wives are saying, why are you worrying yourself? Discontinue the rulership. So you will find that another category of persons will not accept you. The golden rule is that when God raises somebody and you don't understand it, don't go and denigrate the person. Don't despise the person because you don't know tomorrow. Don't say negative things about the person. Say, hey, this is that, she too, she's married. Oh yes, anybody can be married. You say, hey, this guy, he's the managing director. Hey, the company is finished though. But he's the managing director for now. Sometimes when a pastor is ordained, they say, hey, this guy, we're in class. It's true you were in class, but the Bible says when God, can I hear an amen? Ordained Saul, Saul became a new man, a different man. God's power can transform, can change a person. So this, come on, put your hands together, somebody. There are instances where God has more confidence in the youth than we human beings. He looks at a 17-year-old boy like David and anoints him and gives him grace to deliver a nation. If I made a 17-year-old boy preach now, he said, oh, Pastor Pa. Oh. He picked a 17-year-old boy and gave him a dream that he would be ruler in Egypt, Joseph. Every senior doctor was once a young doctor who was inexperienced. and had to learn from nurses and other paramedical staff, including the professors on the ward. Every young pastor would have an occasion to make mistakes and to learn from the mistake. Every ruler will have an occasion to make mistakes. So let's accept one basic thing about it, that if God has put the person in office, then I will not comment negatively about that. Somebody put your hands together. So this second category of persons were described as sons of Bela. Why? The Bible says that they despised Saul and they brought him no presents. Take note of that. They brought him no presents. One of the ways by which we honor people is what we give. The person has an outdooring ceremony, you go and give. The person has a marriage ceremony, you go and give. The person is graduating from school. The person is celebrating a significant birthday in life. You want to honor the person. There are things you do to show I love you and to also show I respect you. Oh, put your hands together, somebody. So when somebody loves you and respects you, by all means, along the line, the person will plan something for you. God so loved us that he planned something for us. He gave his best. He gave his only begotten son. But the sons of Bela refused to acknowledge Saul, and they refused to bring presents. One thing that will show that you truly love the one you say you love is that over time you will plan something significant and make the person know that I treasure you, I place value on you, I present this to you. Assuming the person has celebrated his or her birthday today, you have 1 year to plan. If you put 5 CDs aside for the next 1 year, it will be something to do something. 10 CDs aside, 20 CDs aside, you will have opportunity to honor the person. And remember that anytime you honor somebody, you are opening doors to be honored in turn. The third category of person that dishonored the father was Absalom. The father was powerful. David was so powerful. But Absalom started his conspiracy gradually, allowed the devil to influence him until he stood at the gates, and whenever people were coming to see his father, he tried to counsel them and judge for them. Then you ask them, how am I faring? Don't you see I'm doing very well? Oh, is my prophetic gift not sharp? One touch. Don't you see that I have revelation knowledge and insight? And people say, oh, Absalom, you are handsome already, because his hair was long and beautiful. But Absalom had a problem, and his problem was that he was also like the prodigal son, saying, Daddy, I need your position. You are too old, dull, and slow. Give way to the younger ones who are more dynamic. I have better leadership skills than you do, better preaching ability, better governance skills. Daddy, you are creating traffic jam. Move your broken down vehicle from the main road. Park it on the side. And let the younger ones, with zeal, enthusiasm, and with a future, take over. So he rebelled against his father, and he got the counsel of someone terrible in the wake of the rebellion to sleep with his father's wives on a rooftop. I mean, your father's wife, your father's wives, your father's wives. Not in private, but line them up one after the other. Absalom had some demonic strength. On top of a roof. Plain, open. No secret about that. To disdain the father. When the father was leaving, they wanted to bring along the Ark of Covenant. He said, no, take it back. If it is the will of God, I will return to Jerusalem. Then things were getting worse. And this time, David will pray. He said, oh Lord, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness. That will lead to the demise of Absalom. The fourth example of some persons who despised their father or dishonored their father can be found in Genesis chapter 9 from verse 20 following. It's about Noah's children. You see, God had delivered Noah. Noah was fine. But Noah was not cultivating okras. Neither was he cultivating maize or wheat, but he was cultivating things that could be refined into alcohol. You see, the moment you start a beer bar in your house, you taste the beer. If you don't taste, your children will taste. Your relatives will come and taste. So Noah one day took the drink and he got drunk. So it was his fault. Then unfortunately for him, he went naked and was lying in the open. Then one of his sons, by name Ham, was the first to see the father. When he saw the father, he couldn't keep his lips. Then he ran out, I can imagine. Oh, come and see the old man. This man that shouts in the morning. This man that shouts, I said, come and see. Come and see for yourself. I thought he was something. Look at him. So he went to call the other siblings. He wanted to call Shem and Japheth. He told them that. But when they heard the story, their interest was not to see their father's nakedness. The Bible says when they came to the place where their father was, they picked a piece of cloth and placed it on their shoulders and decided to walk backwards to where their father was lying. And when they got there, they spread the cloth upon the nakedness of their father. Somehow, when Noah got up, he got to know about it and decided to pronounce a curse. And this curse will land upon the children of Ham, one of which was Canaan, and who, out of whom the Canaanites came. What am I saying? I'm saying that there are opportunities and somebody may see the nakedness of the father, but that's not the time to spread the negative thing. Sometimes, I want us to pray. It's a lie. You can pray alone. I didn't hear an amen. Sometimes the people you disclose to, you know they can't keep their lips like you. but be like Japheth and Shem, who found a piece of cloth to cover the nakedness of their father. If you cover somebody's nakedness today, tomorrow God will cover you. If you expose people today, just out of hate or dislike for them, tomorrow you will reap the same. And remember, what you reap is a good measure. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. You see, that scripture does not only refer to money. We have used it so much for money. God used it for life. Every facet of life. That whatever you do, if you gossip, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. In all these cases I have cited, there was a negative attitude of one or the other that was tantamount to dishonor. But there's a frightening scripture in the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy chapter 21, verses 18 to 21. Deuteronomy chapter 21, verses 18 to 21. It has to do with the fact that a disobedient and rebellious child who dishonored the parents were dragged into the open and they were stoned to death. Deuteronomy 21 from verse number 18. It says, if a man have a stubborn and rebellious son which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him or corrected him and will not hearken unto them, then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him and bring him out unto the elders of his city and unto the gate of his place. Verse 20, and they shall say unto the elders of his city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. And all the men of his city shall stone him with stones, and that he die. So shalt thou put evil away from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. In other words, God is saying that I will not countenance disrespect to authority. I will not tolerate disobedience to authority, particularly to parents. And God says, if there is a slight trace of it, deal with it very firmly and strongly, because a little leaven will leaven the whole lump. You know, some children are raised by good parents and then they are taught good manners. But because that family lives in a compound house where there are about six more families, and one other family cannot train their child, that attitude of rebellion and disrespect from that other family is likely to affect your child. So God says, when such a thing happens, drag the child out and let the child be stoned to death. What is God saying? He's saying that don't let disrespect grow amongst you. Your child must not be allowed to insult anybody else. Your child, no matter how young, must not be allowed to spit upon anybody else. I remember a little child somewhere on a property of ours, and whatever you told him, he did the opposite. I remember I went with my wife, and this guy day after day was a torment. Whatever you told him, he was a small boy. One day I decided to drive the disrespect out of him. And when I put my foot down once from that day, when I entered that property, he went to the mother's side because he realized that authority has come. I told the mother, you are spoiling the boy, because the things you have allowed him to do in the house is what he's doing to visitors. Under no circumstances must you curse your parents, be openly disobedient to them, insult them, argue with them. They talk when you talk to. And then you tell your father, Yaka Gbomojibo. Yani akwe onyanyemi. Amekame binya university bo mino fuhami. Well, the fact that through him you came to life is the singular thing he has done for you that you must be eternally grateful for. Somebody put your hands together. Very soon you will outgrow being a young person and you'll be a parent yourself. And that is when you will realize your folly and the things that you have been doing are wrong. Can I hear an amen? So a good leader of an organization would not allow subordinates to be openly disrespectful. Are you getting what I'm saying? Many times they say, well, there was an argument between me and this person, and the way that the CEO handled it, I don't like it. No, that's a principle. In God's scheme of things, rebellion and dishonor to parents must be swiftly dealt with. Like I said, so that a little leaven does not leaven the whole lamb. So the Bible says, honor thy father and thy mother. That's Exodus 20:12. That thy days may be long, that in another place is added, that it may be well with thee. The reason why God instituted fathers was because he wants them on it. A car must be driven, food must be eaten. Umbrella is for rain, and fathers are for honor. Oh, come on, put your hands together. It's a simple equation. So what does it mean to honor a person? It means to value the person, to esteem the person, to revere the person, to give respect to the person. And there are two general circumstances. Number one, respect because of merit. And number two, respect due to rank. See, there are some fathers who are good fathers. They are doing very well. They are playing their role. They are sacrificing. They are going beyond. They are excelling. Amen. They are fathers that are receiving honor by reason of their excellence. It's merit. But there is a second thing that God has brought to us according to the scripture in Exodus 20. The honor to the father in that context is by reason of his ranking, by reason of the position he occupies, whether he has one eye and no nose, he's still your father. Whether 23 of his 32 teeth have all dropped off, he's still your father. Whether he's mad and he has been locked away in an asylum, he's still your father. Whether he was drunk and fell in the gutter and they lifted him and brought him home stinking, he's still your father. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long, that it may be well with you. So there are officials when you meet, by reason of the office they occupy, just honor them and move on. Honor the scripture, that's all. You may meet a president of Africa you don't like, but once you come into contact with him, just salute him and move on. When I meet the policemen and they stop me, I greet them nicely. Unless I'm so tired that I don't want to talk. They are doing a good service. Withdraw the police for 2 hours in the country and you will see what will happen. Sometimes the mere presence of them packing vehicles, and they do it in the West. They just come and park vehicle in the center of town and leave. The vehicle may be there for 3 days. As soon as people see the police vehicle, they say, hey, this place, there's trouble. So learn to respect authority. Learn. You know, some people have a way of boasting. As for me, I don't respect anybody. Okay. Can I show an example in the Bible? A man was by name Shimei. When David was overthrown, he was the man that clapped after David and was hissing after him and said, oh, David, yay, you are receiving what is due you because of blood guiltiness. You are being overthrown because you are not a righteous man. God has dealt with you. Now, God don't punish you. David looked at him. You see, fathers don't talk. David looked at him. One of his men said, sir, if you permit me, I'll finish him. David said, leave him. Probably the Lord has sent him to hiss at me. Don't pray that people who criticize you should die. Have a father's heart. Oh, come on, put your hands. Have a father's heart. Have a father's heart. Then David left. You see, David is smart. He would tell his child, who would sit on the throne, to keep an eye on the guy. Because that guy can overthrow you. Be careful about him. So they marked the place for Shimei and asked Shimei not to move out. Shimei violated it, and they quickly took hold of him and finished him. What is the lesson here? You may hiss and hoot at a leader that is probably falling, but be careful. That when another person comes to the throne, your head may be chopped off. In other words, you could put yourself in a bad state of spiritual attack. So we are supposed to just honor fathers. That's what the Bible says. We have been talking about how mothers are doing well. And praise God. Fantastic. And how fathers have not been doing well. It's okay. But a car was made to be driven. Clothes were made to be worn. And fathers were designed to be honored. So when you honor the person, you are placing value, you are esteeming the one highly, you are revering the person, you are giving respect based on, number one, merit. And if the merit is not there, respect the rank. Respect the position, because God knows if you will not respect that person's rank, you will not respect other people. So how do we honor our fathers? You will find in the admonitions in the book of Proverbs. So number one is by listening to them with humility. The Bible talks about paying attention to my words, my son. Listen. They may be saying things that may not be scientifically accurate. You may know more Pythagoras theorem than them. You may know more about computer than they do. But listen to them. You may not have to work with everything today. But if some things are good enough, work with them. Number two, after listening, heed to the things you listen to. Heed to them. The Bible says, my son, incline thy ears to them. Make sure you avoid what they want and embrace what the will of God is for you. Number three, you honor by submitting to authority. ye honor by submitting to authority. So whether it's a political authority or authority in a corporate organization or authority in the circles of the church, authorities in the domains of chieftaincy, submit to the authority. You may not agree with some of the things they say, but you don't stand openly to insult them. Now, honoring someone makes you set them apart. Honoring someone makes you set them apart. Honoring someone like a father makes you distinguish them. You see, you don't lump them together to honor them. No, you separate the father and honor him. You separate the mother and honor her. Let me give you an example. Maybe you have gone to buy nice face towels. Then you share it into two and give half to somebody and half to the father. No, the father needs to be honored. So if you want to distinguish the father, then distinguish the father. If you want to distinguish your mother, distinguish your mother. Don't mix your mother with the rest. You see, if you do what is commonplace, you're having honored the person. But if you do something that you went a step further to distinguish the other person, then you have done something great. Oh, somebody must be clapping, clapping, clapping. Distinguish the person. Set the person apart. Treat the person not necessarily like the others, but make them feel special. Before Isaac passed away, he called Esau and said, "Esau, I realize my time is drawing nigh. Go into the wild and get me a game. Bring me one of the animals I like. Prepare a meal out of it and let me enjoy it so I'll bless you." In other words, Isaac was saying, "Esau, today treat me special. Then you are going to evoke the special blessings that are lying in the domains of my heart into your life." Can I hear an amen from that? Oh, can I hear a better amen from that? When Abraham met Melchizedek, he first gave, are you getting me, to Melchizedek. I want you to know that God loves you. Oh, say amen. And plan to treat somebody special. So that when your day of being treated special comes, it will be special, special, special. As long as you treat everybody ordinarily, you'll be treated in a like manner. But when you set your heart out to say that I am going to do this and I'm going to do it from my heart to honor the person, God would do it. Jesus was concerned in his time about how people honored God. And he said, "With their lips they honored me, but their hearts are far from me." True honor comes from the heart. So whether the person is present or absent, there's a certain love and respect you have for him. Oh, come on, you are not getting what I'm saying. So in the person's absence, you do better. Apostle Paul says that I have been with you and now I'm absent. I'm preaching elsewhere. In my absence, I expect you to hold me in high esteem and do things like you did in my presence. Can I hear an amen from you? So your honor to another must come from your heart. You may say nice words. You may say, Reverend, we are with you. Oh, Reverend. Oh, no. But let it come naturally from your heart. Sometimes a thing will not come by itself. You have to work on it. You have to change your thoughts. You have to read materials that will help your understanding to do what you must do. Never forget anybody that has been used in the role of a father in your life. That God has used them. He may not have given material things to you. Do you know what the Bible says? That we should give spiritual things. And the congregation should provide the carnal things. But now people expect it the other way. If the pastor loves me, he will give me something. But I also say, if you love me, you will give me something. I like the way you are smiling. It tells me you are listening. Can I ask you to clap to the glory of God? I have taken my time to preach this message. I could have preached it in another vein, but I've taken my time to explain, not frighten people, but to make people understand that there's something that you do, that even in the absence of your father, even in the absence of your leader, you have respect in your heart and you're willing to defend him. Oh, come on, can I hear an amen from you? Put your hands together. They may be saying something that is true, but as soon as they start, they say, sir, I don't like this conversation. I don't like what you are doing. Unless you are perfect, then you can go ahead. You haven't said anything, but you have defended your leader. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Oh, I'm not hearing an amen from somebody. So Jesus said, they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. And God is looking for that which comes from the heart. He's looking for that which arises from the depths of the heart, which is cultivated in the appropriate attitude and come with the love of God. Honor begets honor. Dishonor begets dishonor. If you want favor, sow favor. If you want money, then sow money. If you want clothing, sow clothing. If you want accommodations settled by God, then invest in somebody's life who's sorting out accommodation issues. The person may be building. You can provide 20 bags of cement. Provide it for the person. Oh, I'm not hearing an amen. What you sow, you reap. And when you dishonor a father, it's a serious thing. Can I tell you something? I remember years back, somebody we worshipped with called me from the Registrar General's on a nice, I think Wednesday afternoon, and said, Reverend, I have found my husband to be, and we are at the Registrar General's. And we are getting married, so I am informing you. And while I was being informed, it was like 2 p.m. I said, oh, what does that mean? He said, Reverend, I couldn't tell you because he just came from another West African country. And because he came, it was black, 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 black. In other words, there was no opportunity to inform me. I mean, is that the honor for me? Oh boy, what is dishonor And a true father will not talk about that. You just keep quiet. Sometimes it's dangerous when your father is keeping too quiet. I'm not hearing an amen. I know this is not the message you wanted to hear on a Father's Day, but fathers are made to be honored. So when you get near a father, greet the person well. Oh, I didn't hear an amen. Put your hands to. When others are gossiping about the fathers, move away. Fathers are meant to be honored. People in positions of authority by rank are meant to be honored. You may travel to another country and try to dishonor the immigration officer. He will send you back to your country. There are some places you don't play. Just honor him. He may be a small 21-year-old guy. You may be a 69-year-old man, but submit yourself to him. Answer his questions. Nobody asks you to go to their country. You can stay in your small domain here. Tell the next person, honor your father. Honor your father. So you have to plan. You have to plan. And go back home and honor your father who's alive. Sometimes your father is late. There's an uncle. Fine. Sometimes you gather your children and go there and sit with them. You can pray with them. You can share with them. You can encourage them. And once a while, you can send something to them. Sometimes you may have some uncles who were rich and didn't mind you. Now they are broke and you are blessed. You don't feel like sending them anything. I suggest you send them something. Because you grow old very soon. And you want to have a harvest of good blessings. So although they failed as uncles, don't fail as a nephew. Oh, somebody's not saying amen. May the Lord bless you. I finished my message.
Thank you for listening to this message. We sincerely hope you are blessed. For more information on these podcasts, email us at tetejangma@yahoo.com or call us on 0249-333-555. Stay blessed.